Salü. Ich hoffe und glaube, es läuft. Sehr gut. Ich werde heute über Tech for Sex Work reden. Still the wrong language. I'm going to talk in English. Sorry. So I'm going to talk about Tech for Sex Work. It's a little bit like, we all know the internet was made for porn, I guess. But if the internet was made for porn, why is it so hostile towards sex workers? And usually in the beginning of a talk, there's like an introduction, often like an introduction from like someone else, or at least like the person who's giving like a little bit of explanation who they are. And that is a little bit complicated in that case, because I need like a little bit of explanation to the introduction. So if you happen to know me for whatever reason, please look very carefully into this Blitz dingsy, because forget whatever you know about me. We're first going to talk about the sex work persona. What is a sex work persona? Well, I found a lot of good gifts. That's pretty small. It should be a bit bigger. But I hope you do understand or see Sailor Moon transforming into Sailor Moon. I have no clue what Sailor Moon's, I don't know, legal name is, but yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about persona before. What is a persona? A persona is kind of like a person you become for like some time, or like for some thought. And it is mainly some kind of privacy thing, just like, oh yeah, sometimes you like a different person. So it's like kind of like your privacy protection. But it's also like a way to create your own boundaries, what to do, like in what persona. And persona is a very, it kind of comes out of acting, as actors usually take on personas and like roles for some time. And I'm pretty happy to give this talk at the CBase, because I learned a lot of acting in the CBase. So the persona is also some kind of method acting, or connected to method acting, because it is kind of like find the persona in yourself that you're going to portray. And that is why sex workers usually work under different names, so they kind of mask themselves. That leads to like easily to the question about like, well, if like a sex worker is like someone else, like isn't it like some kind of authenticity issue? And shouldn't you always be like your authentic self and like always the same person and like very connected to who you are, to your inner self? And that idea is, in some connections, useful, but in the context of of sex work, but also in general, I'd say authenticity works as like some idea, but altogether it is kind of bullshit. Why is that? We all do have clashing personas. We all are different people at different times. In the context of sex work, and a lot of people, I guess, will look because or watch the talk because, well, sex and sex sells. You're like a very different person if you're having sex with someone or if you're having like lunch with your grandma. And if you don't agree with it, then I'd say something is strange with you. Or maybe you are, I don't know, the grandpa to your grandma. But otherwise, you're just like a different persona. And so the authenticity thing does get like a hit there, because we are different people, like in different different connections. So we do have like clashing personas. What does it mean to have like clashing personas? For sex workers, usually it means like, well, you have at least like two names. And if you have like two names, you usually also do have two phones, which is like the next slide. And it creates like a lot of question about like, well, when are you like what persona? How do you deal with it in the context of the internet? How do you deal with like online dating that isn't work? Like what persona do you use for that? And how do you deal with stuff like image reverse search? So if you have like your own images somewhere, how do you deal with them? Like how are you not found in the other persona? That's kind of like just clashing part. What is if your day job, or like if you have a second job, or like a different background that is kind of public too, which is just clashing personas? And to demonstrate that, or what I mean with clashing personas, I have like a short clip that I try to go through. Just a 20-second clip. Watch it.
I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear me
I
say
love
it?
You, Dad.
You're dropping me off at school.
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
So in this clip, there are like a lot of things that are worth mentioning, like the abuse of police force by his dad, because he's just using like the police car to embarrass his son in front of the whole school. But that's not really the point. What I want to talk about, like the embarrassing part, because on the one hand, Miles, the kid, wants to be like a good kid to his dad. So he does want to say like, oh yeah, I love you. But he's also like really embarrassed because he's in front of the school. And in school, he's just a different persona. So that is what I mean if I'm talking about clashing personas. You are just different people, or like we are different people in like different settings. And sometimes these settings clash. In my talk here today, two of my personas clash. So who am I? Well, on the one hand, I have no clue. I do not know who I am. It depends a lot on the context. But still try to give like some kind of context. Well, on the one hand, I'm a former politician and activist. I was like a board member for the Pirate Party back when the Pirate Party was still a thing. I did a lot of like of privacy activism years ago. And to some degree, I'm still an activist because I'm giving this talk and talk now about sex workers' rights. And on the other hand, well, I'm a sex worker. But how do like sex work and politics go together? Because that's like, well, no, that doesn't really work. So while I'm like kind of like outing myself here in like these two personas, I do want to make sure that you do understand this, that these are different personas and we aren't always the same person. So on the one hand, well, I'm Gero Nagel, that's like my legal name. That is my politician or former politician, also like mainly my activist name, also Zweifeln. And well, then I'm Dennis Diep, the sex worker who does sex work. And in this context that I'm like giving this talk, it's like, well, I know the CBS basically as Gero and like a lot of net activism and stuff. But I'm also talking about sex work and that's like, well, the other identity. So what identity is like real here and what is like properly, and it isn't really easy to say. And on that saying, why am I outing myself here? Like, why do I do that? On the one hand, I'm quite aware of like my privileges in this context. So like, well, I'm a man, so I do have a lot of privilege over like women, and most sex workers are women. But also, I don't really have much of a family. I don't really have children. I don't have anyone else to pull down there. Like, I don't have, like, I don't, or like, to a lot of sex workers, it is very hard to out themselves as it will create a lot of stigma, not only to them, but also to their family. And there I'm like on a rather lucky side that I don't really have one. And on a short side note, there will be people, at least I've had like plenty of them, to tell me that, well, like, if you have like two personas, that's like kind of, I don't know, bad for you, and like some kind of hobby psychologist telling you like, yeah, don't do that, that's evil or something. And sorry, but I do know what's good for me and not you, so don't. So let's start into the actual talk. We start with what is sex? And I'm like a little bit disappointed that we don't really have like a proper audience, and well, we can't have that. But I'd love to have the audience stand up to say like, okay, what is sex? And answer like, well, is kissing sex? If so, sit down and kind of like push pressure on people because we don't really want to talk about it. And part of why sex work is so stigmatized is because we don't talk about sex work, but we generally don't talk about sex. And is kissing sex to you? Is sexting sex, like sending nudes and stuff, is that sex? Is masturbation sex? And I have heard to all of them like different parts. And then, well, penetration, that's kind of like the obvious thing. It's like, oh yeah, everyone agrees that at least penetration is sex. But even there, well, I know people who say that blowjobs aren't sex because, I don't know, they don't count. And the answer to that is, well, sex is whatever makes you feel sex, like whatever gives you the feeling of having sex, of being sexually engaged with someone consensually. If it isn't consensually, it is not sex. So this 2 points, basically. Everyone involved has consented into it, and the other one is just the feeling that you have sex. Then we come to, what is sex work? And sex work is basically whatever you do for that sex feeling, for that sexual pleasure that you can give for money. But it is also, to a huge degree, care work. And care work, well, that's basically what a lot of teachers do. All kind of child care is to take care of people. That's usually an unpaid work, and usually something that women do. And when that gets paid as in sex work, that often creates a lot of issues, which is, yeah, pretty awful. Sex work is to a huge degree fiction. Recreate to a lot of environment for people to live their sexual pleasures, whatever that might be. And the fiction part will create like issues again. So like, yeah, if sex work is fiction, isn't that like kind of evil? And aren't we like playing our clients and stuff? And no, everyone knows that what fiction is and like how sex work is fiction. No one believes that our often quite fake sounding names are real. And every child knows that Bob the Builder is fiction, so I'm pretty sure our clients can see the line that's like, well, we do create like a fictional world for them for some time, and after that, that's done as well. So let's go to prostitution. What is prostitution? Isn't it kind of like the same as sex work? And yeah, it kind of is. But it is often called that it's like the oldest profession in the world. It is something that we, as sex worker, often say kind of to justify ourselves. But actually, that's not true. Prostitution, in the way we use the word, was created like 100 years ago, or like 120 years ago. It is basically police regulation of sex. In that case, sex of a woman, because, well, gay sex or lesbian sex was no sex at all back at the time, and gay sex was forbidden anyway. So prostitution is basically to, or like the prostitution as we use the word today, was mainly created around 1900 when stronger laws came into place. And and a lot of people are like, a lot of women were checked by the police if they're like sex workers. And they had to undergo a lot of very humiliating processes by being checked by police, doctors, and stuff. And that is the early development of like the prohibition movement that we have these days. So back in around 1900s, like the first wave or like the first feminist groups were fighting against sex workers and prostitution because they felt attacked, that they might also undergo the police mistreatment that a lot of women had to deal with, also prostitutes or sex workers. And that is why so many feminists are like, why there's like a tradition of like feminism kind of fighting against sex work, some feminism, not all. Which is kind of interesting that this kind of anti-behavior focus on the prostitution or like on the woman doing it and like not on the evil police regulation and like on the evil police laws. But what did it look like once upon a time? Like what was, or like what is traditionally seen as sex work? And well, there's like brothels. That's kind of like what everyone kind of believes. And well, there's like street sex work. We all have seen most people have seen at least in some movies, some sex workers at the street. And they're like agencies. And that's kind of like the traditional way. So that you do have like some people setting dates up. That is a little bit glitchy towards pimping, which is like, well, that's like always evil, but it's a little bit like more complicated as well. A lot of sex workers do need agencies to set up clients and like to find clients. And we, as workers, we do need clients. And what is sex work today? Well, we still have like brothels and street work. Nothing changed there. Well, we do have like a lot of strip clubs, not that much currently, but generally. We do have like a lot of escort websites. So a lot of sex work, at least connecting, is happening online these days. We do have like phone sex, we do have sexting that can be, can be paid. We have a lot of camming, so, and well, we do have porn. The difference between camming and porn is basically that camming is like an usually one-on-one interaction, and that's like happening live, and porn is more like the properly performed sexual act that is made, or like that is like produced way more, way more professionally. What is a little bit interesting, or like in on that level, is like, why isn't like erotic literature seen as sex work? And generally, that's kind of like, well, if like phone sex is sex work, why isn't like, I don't know, writing novels or stuff sex work? And the point is, or like the reason is mainly like a historically one, because like, well, you had like a lot of sex workers, and with technology evolving, they weren't there, and literature was always around, and porn literature was like always around. So that's a little bit like, it is a little bit blurry, but that's where we do see a change. And why did it change? Like, why did sex work become a tech thing? Why do I talk about tech in context of like sex work? Sex isn't really something that happened with a lot of tech, but rather, I don't know, human to human. There's like not that much technology involved. But on the one hand, well, everything kind of moves online. So sure, sex work does too. But on the other hand, we also have like new legal challenges that kind of push sex work into different spaces. So for the first, we're going to talk about decriminalization. That is kind of what most sex workers want, that we do not have like any criminal law about us. So, like, well, we are just like professionals offering a service, so why can't we just have that? And in most countries, that's not the case. It is the case in a couple of states in Australia and in New Zealand, and nearly in Japan. On that level, we do see that decriminalization alone isn't helping. As in Japan, only vaginal sex is seen as prostitution, and every sexual practice that isn't happening vaginal, it isn't seen as sex work, and therefore there are like no criminal rules applied. And yet Japan is an incredible stigmatized country on sex work. And why we do want decriminalization and we don't want any more criminalization is because we want more rights. We want rights for ourselves. We want to kind of unionize and fight for our rights, and no more wrong laws can help us. It's like our point. Then let's talk about legalization. And that's often kind of seen as the same, but it isn't. A lot of drug people sounds awful. But when people are arguing for legalizing drugs, that's like often legalization to say like, well, they want like a specific rule where we can, or where people can consume drugs legally, but like in a safe environment. On sex work, we do not want to have this kind of regulated environment, as legalization, as we do have it in a couple of countries. For example, Germany, we do have usually a registration. So what we have is, we have this kind of, I'm not sure if we can actually see that. Maybe we should have talked about that. So we do get like some kind of paper that we have to register at an governmental office. And so there's like a database where all our data is in to check whether we are like legal to work. And if you don't have that that paper, and if you do work as a sex worker and get checked, you do have to pay a fine, which is, if you're like an escort or something, like not that bad. So like, well, you can still do that. If you do work in some kind of studio, like some kind of brothel, the brothel will be shut down if anyone will ever find out that someone worked in it without registration. So for a lot of people who do work in brothels or studios, that is like a very important thing to have this registration, which we don't want to have, because who knows how long that database is safe, and we all know that databases aren't that safe, at least not the governmental ones. But legalization also means that we have a lot of other restrictions. For example, like in Germany, we talk about Sperrbezirk, which is kind of like a restricted area in which sex work can't happen. And what people often understand is like, oh yeah, like street sex work can't happen, and it's like, yeah, maybe like the area around schools or something, there shouldn't happen any sex work. But it doesn't mean like every kind of sex work. It doesn't mean that there can't be like any brothel in a Sperrbezirk, which is in Germany state-wise organized. So Berlin doesn't have it, but a lot of states do have it. With like very confusing rules and like hard to follow to understand, okay, where can I work and can I not work? And it does include like all kind of hotels or something. So if I have like a client who's like requesting me to like a hotel and I'm going there, I kind of have to check beforehand if that hotel is in a Sperrbezirk. And like, why the fuck would that ever matter to anyone? But this is also part of like legalization process. And it does include regulation of sex practices. It does include, say, like what kind of sex practices are allowed and what do we have to use. As in Germany, we are legally bound to always use condoms for all kind of sex. And well, as my clients are mostly men, so be like, well, so in all the unpaid sex, it's like totally fine to have sex without condom or something. On the point that I get paid, I can't do that. I can't even give like a blowjob without a condom, which is kind of like weird. And that is the legalization approach that we do have in Germany as well. Then we do have like the criminalization approach. That is like a rather easy one. Everything is criminal and everything is evil. Sex work is forbidden. It is basically, yeah, police, pimps, organized crimes, as bad as it can get. And to justify, that's like how it looks, because yeah, you just get jailed. There's like nothing really to do. And then we have the Swedish model. The Swedish model is a mean one. It claims to be there for sex workers. It claims to help sex workers out of the scene. It is the so-called sex buy law. So sex work itself is legal, but it is illegal to buy sex. Which means the sex worker itself doesn't do anything wrong, but every client is doing wrong when they request sex. So it's like a client criminalization. And whoever takes money from a sex worker becomes a pimp. That includes landlords. So if my landlord knows, or like if I'd be in Sweden, and my landlord knows that I'm a sex worker, and I'm gonna use the money that I earn with sex for paying my rent, my landlord becomes a pimp. And on the one hand, it's kind of funny because, well, who does really like landlords? But on the other hand, it's like, well, that also means that sex workers can't out themselves ever anywhere, because otherwise they won't get any flat ever. Because, well, no one wants to become a pimp and want to be prosecuted as a pimp. So that creates like a huge stigma on that level. And the Swedish model altogether, well, it says that it wants to protect sex workers from clients and, I don't know, evil environment and stuff. It actually increases violence because you don't have any safe work environment. You don't have any kind of brothels or something because no one can earn money with it. Or no one can legally earn money with it. And therefore, a lot of it pushes further into a criminal environment. As in Northern Ireland, where the Swedish model was introduced like a couple of years ago, the Queen's University, which is based in Belfast in Northern Ireland, had like a huge study on it before the Swedish model was introduced there, on how big the general sex business scene was. And 2 years later, after it was introduced, it had like the same research again, and it found out that it didn't change. Like it was still around the same number of people working in the sex work, but the violence increased by like 26%. So the Swedish model does not abolish sex work, which it claims to do, but it just increases a lot of sex, a lot of violence. So yeah, to show that, that's a bit like how I imagine the Swedish model is. That, well, she is like really good. She has like everything she can, but everyone are like, well, she is practically in a prison. But yeah, everything around her is, she can't connect anyone because you can't. The internet is made for porn. But where is it really? Like, where do we find porn if we want to look it up? And, well, we all know once there was a lot of porn on Tumblr, but that's gone. Are there, like, any porn apps? No, there aren't. Why aren't there any porn apps? Why does it not exist? What is it about social media? There isn't really much porn on social media. Why is that? And the internet kind of moved there, so where is the porn if the internet was once made for it? And well, it kind of disappeared, mainly because of the terms of services of all kind of services. And yeah, terms of services, it's just a lot of reading. We do that because we have to figure out like where to work. And well, we do have like stuff like female nipple ban on Instagram. Like, oh, why are like male nipples allowed but female nipples not? And close up, what's the difference between them? Where the fuck is that coming from? We do have like a lot of real name policy. And as I kind of explained earlier, what is a real name? Isn't like a lot depending on like who we are in what context? Why is Dennis not my real name? It is my real name. It is like how I'm interacting with a lot of people. Why is it like not real? Because like not legal? What the fuck? Since when does the internet require like authorization like that? That's awful. And well, a lot of services just have like a nudity restriction. And then kind of like the next idea is like, oh yeah, if you want to have porn, just have it like on your own website. And then we do have the issue of youth protection, and a lot of like people understand that we do want to protect youth from whatever might be harmful. And if porn is considered harmful to youth, then we do want to protect them from it. However, to have it on like your own website, the legal requirements in Germany say that you have to have the ID of everyone who's watching whatever might be considered harmful to young people. That means that if you want to have porn on your own website, you have to have some kind of checking mechanism for everyone who's watching that. So you can't just have it on your website. You do need like a lot of technology to figure out no one is accessing it without you knowing who it is. And on porn, which most people don't really want to talk about, that's quite an issue. We do have in Germany some stuff like imprint, so we do need to have like our address on our own website. There are like ways around them. There are like services that provide you with an imprint that does not have your legal address on it, but of some kind of service, which a lot of sex workers use because, well, we usually don't work at our own home and we usually don't want our clients to come to our home because that's, yeah, we are someone different like at home and at work. That is why we do have all that work persona and stuff. And well, there's like domain registration and stuff. So at least like in the registry, usually there's like your address and stuff as well. The DNIC, the German domain registration, doesn't publish it anymore, but or like you do need to prove that you have reasonable reason to access it, but yeah, it is still an issue. And then talking about the internet, as a lot of people will come, I'm pretty sure of it, as we talked about social media, what is with the Fediverse? Can't we all just use Mastodon and stuff? And yes, we kind of could. And there's like an instant as twitter.at, which is yeah just like a sex work Twitter or Mastodon instant. But the issue with the Fediverse is, well, we usually use social media to attract clients and find clients. And seriously, how many of you actually use the Mastodon or like the Fediverse like on a real basis, not just for like some tech porn? And my experience, well, the Fediverse is rather empty, sadly. And let's talk about algorithms. That's a thing that a lot of people talk about lately. Why do we talk about it? Or what is important for sex work in the context of algorithm? One of them is spam filters. Because sex work and sex altogether is like so little talked about, it is like a really good way to scam people. And we all have seen a lot of scam emails concerning somewhat sex. And what happened over the years, or over some time and some machine learning, is that every email that contains words like sex or fuck or whatever is not going to get through your spam filter. And that's the reason why the Berufsverband Sexarbeit, like kind of the German sex workers union, does have like a different domain for our emails as well. Berufsverband Sexarbeit.de contains the letters S, E, and X after each other. And a lot of spam filters will just like filter it out completely. So we do need like a different domain for our emails. Because these are things you can't talk about. That's just not getting through. And we do have stuff like shadow banning. So shadow banning is like not limited to sex workers. A lot of people do get shadow banned on the internet or like on all kind of platforms for using like too many hashtags or something. But it is quite interestingly how many sex workers are shadow banned. And shadow banning is like you can't, like your profile doesn't disappear. You don't really notice that you're shadow banned. At some point, or it's like rather accidentally that you may notice because you just can't be searched anymore. Like if you look for shadow banned accounts and if you search it on it like Instagram or Twitter or something, it does not show up. So you can still tweet and stuff, but it in like all kind of tags or something, it just doesn't come up. And on algorithm, I also do have the rather recent question, like my talk in the recommendation is like together with Inside X-Hamster, Drogenhandel 3.0, like drug dealing, and Nazis in games. And why is that? I mean, I'm basically talking about like workers' rights. Who the fuck decided that the only place to put my talk is Nazis, drugs, and X-Hamster, which is a pretty awful porn site? And I do not believe that anyone did it like intentionally. I do believe that's like some kind of algorithm bias. I'm not sure of that. If anyone does have or know where the recommendations came from, please let me know. Let's talk about payment. Sex work is basically getting paid for sex. So how do we get paid? And usually it's like, well, cash. Cash is pretty awesome. That's kind of like anonymous and we can use it easily. So let's use cash. But online? How do you use cash online? And the easy way and the most common way is PayPal. So like, oh yeah, that's kind of like the easiest way to pay somewhere. And yeah, no, that's like not anonymous, but you can still use it. And PayPal has a very strict no sex work terms of service. So it does close all kind of accounts to sex workers very regularly. And it freezes all assets for like month and month that you have to fight for to get back to your own money that you have. Because PayPal just says like, yeah, no, we don't do that. That's out of our terms of service and we don't care. So that's kind of like, yeah, that would be pretty awesome, but it doesn't really work. At least, yeah, you need like new accounts regularly and it's just paying on the ass. And why is it? Why can't we just use it? It's like, oh yeah, we do have like IBANs and Zipa, and so can't we just like transfer money the, I don't know, at least in German, kind of traditional way? And yes, we can, since we do have the IBAN numbers. You can use a different name for the bank account holder and it will still arrive, but it's still a thing to give out your IBAN. And it only works within Germany. Like if you do have like a bank account outside of Germany and transferring money, your name will be visible to whoever paid you, which is, yeah, quite an issue. What's with credit cards? Can't we use credit cards? And the idea is kind of like, yeah, why not? And the point is very similar to PayPal. They just don't want us. We are kind of like, I don't know, the ugly people on the internet or something. They don't want us. And what will come up very obviously is cryptocurrencies. Why can't we use cryptocurrencies? Well, we can. The question is more like, well, on the one hand, sure, we as sex workers need to figure out how to use them, but also how do our clients use them? And most of our clients are like rather old and not that tech savvy. So cryptocurrencies aren't really an issue. Maybe one day they will be, but so far they aren't really helpful for us. And I'm not aware of any sex worker regularly getting paid in cryptocurrencies. And to some degree, it's also a bit a question of if we really want to trust into cryptocurrencies, but that's a talk for another time. And what happens as payment online usually is we get gift cards. That's our payment. And that's, I don't know. I'm not really sure what to say to that, but I basically get paid online in Amazon gift cards. So I often have like more money on my Amazon account than on my bank account, and I can't withdraw it because it's Amazon and you have to buy stuff on Amazon. And I don't want to buy stuff on Amazon, but that's the only way to get paid. And that's just frustration. However, it gets worse. There are like new legal challenges, or rather new legal challenges. So, I don't know. First, we're going to talk about Sister Foster. Sister Foster is already in place, so it's actually not new. It's already 2 years old. It is an amendment to the Section 230. Section 230 in the US criminal law provides immunity for website publishers from third-party content. That is the main reason, like Section 230, not Sister Foster. Section 230 is the main reason, or considered the main reason, why the internet took off that big and why the web 2.0 is, yeah, or got a big thing, because whoever is like hosting a website isn't reliable for the third-party content. And Sister Foster changed that. It created an exception for everything that assists, facilitate, or support sex trafficking. And no one wants sex trafficking. I'm not aware ever of anyone being like in favor of sex trafficking. However, it is the question of sex trafficking is a little bit similar to what we had in Germany like in 2009, when a lot of people, or some people, were very much in favor of like some kind of stop signs on the internet for everything that's evil. And that's basically some censorship infrastructure for back then child pornography or child abuse material, because pornography is consensual and child abuse isn't consensual. And so Sister Foster killed Backpaid and Craigslist in 2018. Craigslist, well, it's still there, but it isn't available to sex workers anymore. And Backpage was a very commonly used website where you could run cheap ads. And we also, a lot of people had like a very good community on Backpage to kind of just talk to each other and like figure out how to do stuff. And then we have Earnit. Earnit is still in debate. It isn't, signed into law or anything yet. It is also an amendment to the Section 230. And so far, Section 230 provides some liability from civil lawsuit related to the content of users. So similar to the original Section 230, like if you as an internet platform had content by a user that was like their content and they had to be taken care of it. And we had already the exception of Sister Foster that, well, it can't have anything to do with sex trafficking. But now what comes new to that is that lawsuits against service providers can be possible if they fail to deal with child sexual abuse material, which is commonly known as child porn, though porn is consensual, so it is child sexual abuse material. And what that means is, well, the idea of it is kind of good. It's like, yeah, no one wants to see material of like abused children. But what it does, or what it probably will do, is that a lot of sex work content and a lot of porn will be removed from the internet, as maybe it could be, who, like, how sure is it that no one will understand it as child porn, and maybe that will lead to like some lawsuits, so probably easier to delete it. And what comes to Earnit as well is the lawsuits against service providers will be possible if the service provider allows end-to-end encryption. That is a point where a lot of civil society organizations got wind of and like was like, yeah, no, that's like, we can't go into crypto wars again. That's like, not, no way, but there we are. And it is happening over, yeah, sex work stuff. Then we have CZR. It is short for Stop Internet Sexual Exploitation Act. And that is a rather new idea by two senators in the United States. Is it true they do want to deal with like sexual exploitation on film? And it does so by making the age of consent for filming porn to be based on states instead of the federal laws. And that doesn't sound that bad in the first, but you know that in the US you still have child marriages. You still have children being married. And if that will get enacted and if that will be signed into law, porn of children will actually become legal in the United States. While it tried to work against it, it kind of does the opposite. And also, what is part of it, it has a mandatory registration for all porn performers. So a little bit as what we have in Germany already with our paper as sex workers, that is proposed in the United States for all porn performers. So the government does have like a registry of everyone who's ever done porn and can check if they're like legal and everything is fine. And CZR came out of the so-called war on porn. What is the war on porn? Well, we do talk about a lot about stuff and places like Pornhub, OnlyFans or Xhamsa that recently are a lot in like media and like often seen as like evil porn platforms. And don't get me wrong, the platforms are quite evil. I'm not aware of like any sex worker like being generally in favor of these platforms. These platforms basically see sex workers as click workers, a little bit like, I don't know, what Amazon is doing pretty awfully with all kind of technical perk is happening there too. So like, oh yeah, like they basically want content and we're gonna create it for them and they're gonna sell it. And what happened, I guess most of you have heard about it in the beginning of December, is that there was like a huge debate after an article by Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times claiming that Pornhub was like really evil and didn't deal with any kind of abuse material. And that led to Pornhub changing a policy that sex workers were asking for years, that you only could upload content to Pornhub or all of MindGeek's websites if you are registered and if there's like some kind of ID check, because what a lot of porn people really hate on these platforms, not so much on OnlyFans, but particularly like on Pornhub and Xhamsa and basically all of MindGeek's porn sites, is that you do have like a lot of illegal uploads there. It is a little bit like, I don't know, 10 years ago when a lot of people used like Movie 2K or something to watch movies, and the content industry was heavily arguing against it. And that debate at some point kind of vanished because Netflix came up, and well, torrenting didn't disappear and Pirate Bay is still there, so you still can use it. But to most people, Netflix just got easier and more comfortable than using some kind of, I don't know, ad-based shady website. And that didn't happen with porn yet. So yeah, it is a little bit the same, with the exception that, well, the big movie companies in Hollywood do have money to run big campaigns. The porn companies that have money are these. And the people who create stuff for them are left out to dry. But where's the war on porn actually coming from? It is called the so-called Exodus Cry, which is like a strong religious strong religious Christian fundamentalist group that created earlier this year. Actually, no, not this year. I think it's already some time ago. I'm not sure. The hashtag trafficking hub to attack Pornhub. And Nicholas Kristof, who wrote the huge debated piece for the New York Times, basically took all the arguments from this Christian fundamentalist group. And while they try to say they're like against sex trafficking, what they are is against all kind of sex work. They're generally against porn. And they're also very very much against all kind of LGBT rights. And they will always claim that, no, we as an organization, we do not have a stand on LGBT rights. We don't care about them. But pretty much all of their members are very strong anti-LGBTQ. So that's where the war on porn comes from. It's Christian fundamentalists trying to censor the internet and everything that has to do with sex, because sex is evil. So what do we do? More the question, like, why am I giving the talk? For the one hand, yeah, I guess a lot of people will find it interesting to have some kind of insight in what tech for sex work means. But it also the point, like, why I outed myself is we need help. On the one hand, well, we need to fight stigma. We need to be okay with sex workers being or doing their job. But above that, we need society generally to stop patronizing us. We need to decide on our own what is good for us and what is not good for us. And we need rights to stop the wrongs. We need support from everyone who is in favor of us doing our jobs. And I believe a lot of people who are watching this talk are watching porn. Maybe they're like not booking sex workers anymore because they did have a ditch a bit with porn coming around. But porn is a part of sex work. And if you want to have that option to book sex workers, but also just to watch porn, to enjoy that in a hopefully legal way, then you do have to support us. And you can do that by giving us money. Like not me personally, or like, well, for sure, if you do want to book me, you do have to pay me. But in the last year, well, we do had like the COVID situation and the BEST, the Berufsverband Sexarbeit, which is kind of the German sex workers union, created an emergency fund for sex workers that are not liable to any other emergency funds, which are quite a lot. For example, me, who is legally still a student, and because I'm a student, I can't have any kind of help from the government, because basically I'm a student. I can't even apply for like a fundamental support or Hartz IV. But that isn't enough. We also need the sex workers union BEST itself to be stronger, to work for better rights. And similar organizations as the Berufsverband, also like on the European level, that's the ICRSE or sexworkeurope.org. That is like a collection of a lot of sex worker organizations around in Europe. And that's like a collective, the Hacking Hustling Collective in the United States, that is working a lot on this topic, on like the intersection of sex work and hacking and tech. And one very important part is the NSWP. That's the Network of Sex Work Projects. That's kind of the global organization combining all sex workers. And while it is a bit funny to say like, oh yeah, give us your money, when I'm said like, well, giving money to sex workers is quite hard. Organization-wise, it does work. So yes, please, if you do have money to spend, give it to us. That's done.
Thank you very much. We actually do have some questions from the internet now.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. So please, first one was very easy. Someone wanted to see the card again, if that's possible, a little closer. The card, I don't know if there's any personal information on it on the front. But maybe
which camera should we use? This camera? Wait, I'm gonna come. Oh, you can. Okay. All right. So we do have this one, like on the front, and do not fall down. I can show all of it, like the inside. My birthday is below that. That's why it's covered. But that's like the card, which is kind of interesting. It does say like I can have it like on my pseudonym or like my alias, which is kind of interesting as sex work in Germany is also like not liable for, or like sex work alone is not a reason enough to have like an artist name, though it is like said in here. And that creates a lot of issues as, I don't know, we can't like sign any kind of contracts or something in our artist name. More questions.
Okay, thanks a lot. Next one is a really regarding the Sperrbezirk. Are there technical approaches, for example, an official or non-official app, where a sex worker can at least do a quick check if the area the client requests the worker to be is outside the forbidden area?
I'm not aware of it. There are, I forgot the name, like some organization or like some kind of regional help organization like Hydra in Berlin, council places that do help with that and that you can contact to say like, oh yeah, do you have like some kind of map or something? But I'm not aware of like any kind of app to just quick check or something. And to some, or like to a lot of these Sperrbezirke, it is also constantly changing as a lot of states say that it's like, oh yeah, like in an environment like 300 meters around like every school and like every kindergarten and stuff. And whenever there's like a new kindergarten or something, the area where you can work does change. Or like if some closes or something, you do have like more place again. And basically it's like no one really cares about it and we just try to not get caught.
Okay, so there's a job for you OpenStreetMap hackers out there.
Yes, please.
Do
please.
Something about it. Just write awesome. An algorithm that puts a circle of 300 meters around every school, and maybe that helps. So that was tech and sex work, definitely. The next one is the new aim of the Schufa, a big watch in the bank transfer, not a big repression for political groups like Hydra in Germany. They need donation for the works. Okay, I don't know what the new aim of Schufa is.
Me neither.
Not sure about that.
I guess what I thought they might be referring to is the debate that happened in Germany quite a lot about NGOs being able to run as a non-profit, which for the Berufsverband, for example, was never the case because it is basically there for their members and for sex workers and therefore was never legal for... as an NGO or like a non-government, non-profit. And therefore, if you do spend money to the best, which I very much encourage you to do, you do not get any kind of tax relief because, yeah, it's there for sex workers and sex workers are not...
a donation.
Huh? Okay. Yeah.
Okay, one last, it's in German the question. Für wie wichtig hältst du eine möglichst bargeldähnliche, anonym und einfach digitale Bezahlmethode für Sexworker, insbesondere online? Ich würde auch gerne öfters andere Porn-Plattformen nutzen, möchte aber nicht meine eigene Kreditkarte nutzen. Da halt eine vernünftige digitale Zahlmethode mal für nötig, aber Bitcoin etc. liefert keine Lösung. So in Englisch, how important would be a cash-like digital app to transfer money?
I'm not aware of anything concerning tech and sex work that I'd say is more needed than that. There are like a lot of things that could turn bad, rather like on the legal side, and like turn down like more platforms and stuff. But on the development side, I'd say there's like nothing more important than creating something that we can online kind of anonymous use money and Bitcoin isn't really doing it.
And PayPal doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, sure.
So that was the questions from...
I have a question.
Okay, there's one more from the
I'm not sure
audience.
I'm online because I took a micro. Okay. you talked about the USA and Sweden. How about Germany? Are you aware about people like Mr. Lauterbach, who want to use the pandemic or health reason to prohibit sex work forever?
Well, there's like a debate, or rather was a debate, about the Swedish model in Germany. It is a little bit pushed back. So currently we are not that much on a threat anymore. There will be like a evolution or like revision on the German law end of 2021, I believe. I think it was like implemented in 2017, so like 5 years later. It was like meant to kind of like be replaced or like be said, and there will come up some political debate where to continue with the rather recent or like 2017 German prostitution law or prostitution protection law. So far, like currently, it's a little bit it is not as urgent. It is still an issue, and we still need to be very much aware of what's going on there. But I believe, at least I can compare to a lot of other European countries, Germany is a little bit on the safe side currently. Lauterbach was quite annoying with like his super spreader claim for sex workers, which does not have any kind of proper data to support that, but he did. If we do want to have more questions or something, tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. Berlin time, we're going to do another round of Ask a Sex Worker, where I will be to ask all kind of questions that you might have about sex work generally, or the talk, or whatever you want to ask about. And there's also Udine de Riviere tomorrow reading out of her book, which is a pretty good book in German. And she will be at the Ask a Sex Worker round as well. So you're very much invited to, on the one hand, listen to Undina tomorrow reading her book. She has a really good voice and she's really good on hypnosis and stuff. And also join the Ask a Sex Worker round. I think that's it. And I guess we do have to close as the next talk will
come. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We take another 5 minutes to change the stage, and then Matthias Monroe will be on here with the last talk of the day. So, bis gleich.